For ease of listening, footnotes and scriptural citations included in the print version are omitted from this audio version. Relationship with workers in the church. Laboring together in the work of the Lord with the saints of God is a wonderful privilege. Gospel workers, the members of our congregations who serve the church in various capacities, are the backbone of our organization. As pastors and ministers, our relationship with them is that of companions in ministry. Paul the Apostle often referred with affection to those who labored in the various Gentile churches of his day, commending them and expressing appreciation for their support and efforts in the cause of Christ. For example, he referenced the house of Stephanas and Achaia, commenting that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. He referred to the believers in Philippi as my brethren dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, admonishing them to stand fast in the Lord. He told the workers at Colossae that he continually thanked God for them, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints. Clearly, his connection with those who worked with him in the early church was one of warm affection and spiritual fellowship. What a beautiful example this provides for us as we labor with the saints of God in our day. Our relationship with the gospel workers in our congregations must be built upon several key components. These include shared vision and commitment. Those who participate in the work of the Lord in any capacity must first be spiritually qualified. In writing to the church at Philippi, Paul spoke of Clement and other fellow laborers whose names are in the Book of Life. Our common salvation is the basis for our shared vision and united efforts in the spread of this latter rain gospel. Mutual trust. Trust is the cornerstone of any good relationship. The workers in our congregations must have confidence in us, knowing that they can depend upon us to behave with integrity and faithfulness to God in every situation. Paul said that those who work together with God were to give no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God. We, in turn, must show trust and confidence in them. Mutual submission. When Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, he pled with them to submit yourselves to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. The Apostle Peter voiced the same theme when he admonished, "All of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble." Humility indicates that we are assuming a proper role in our relationship to others, never operating on the basis of self-assertion or personal importance. Humility builds healthy interdependence between us and the workers of the church. We understand that we need them, and they understand that they need us, because that is how God designed the church to operate. We should view those who labor with us in the Lord's work as worthy of our service, and our service is to guide them in following God. At times, our local church structure requires the appointment of individuals to certain roles, such as department heads and team leaders. This can make it easy for us as pastors and ministers to think of ourselves more as employers than as guides. But if the Holy Spirit, from his high position and authority, can still function as a guide, we should do the same. Our attitude toward the gospel workers who labor with us should demonstrate certain characteristics. These include loyalty. We should evidence faithfulness and devotion to one another, supporting and defending each other. Nothing pulls a team closer together or strengthens the bonds of loyalty more than love. It defends against dissension and builds morale. If we truly care for the people of God, the church's inner core of workers will feel that and respond. Appreciation. We should be quick to recognize merit in those who labor with us. Genuine expressions of appreciation and commendation go a long way toward building relationships. Fairness. We must be careful of making comparisons, but respect the efforts of all, being careful to treat everyone equitably and with respect. Empathy. We should do our best to identify with those who labor with us by putting ourselves in their place and endeavoring to see things from their point of view. Thoughtfulness. We should always be considerate of others, applying Christ's words, "As ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise," to our dealings with others. When God called us into the ministry, we were given not only an amazing privilege, but a serious responsibility. First of all, we obviously must lead. Forward progress does not occur unless someone leads the way, and that is the role God has given us as ministers and pastors. Moses led the children of Israel out of bondage in Egypt. Joseph's leadership spared Egypt and God's people from devastating famine. Solomon led the people in the building of the temple at Jerusalem. Any endeavor in the work of the Lord will require leadership. We must equip the workers who labor with us. Our primary effort will be to equip them spiritually, encouraging them to spiritual maturity in the Lord. However, we will also need to provide what they need in a material sense as God directs. Gideon equipped his band with trumpets, lamps, and pitchers to wage war against the Midianites. We have a responsibility to facilitate the efforts of the workers, providing them with what they need for success to the best of our abilities. We need to communicate effectively. Dialogue between us and our co-workers is vital, and effective communication includes listening as well as expressing ourselves understandably. When expectations and goals are clearly transmitted and fully understood, progress is expedited. We have a responsibility to encourage. There is life-changing power in encouragement. When David's life was in danger from Saul, Jonathan stepped in with loving support. The prophet Haggai encouraged the leaders of his day, saying, "Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedech, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts." Jesus himself set a wonderful example of encouraging words when he walked this earth, telling his disciples and those who followed him, "Be of good cheer, be not afraid, and be of good comfort." Encouragement has strengthened many an individual to progress and excel in the gospel. We are called to support those who labor with us. Paul wrote to the Galatians, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." We need to be behind the workers with prayers, faith, and backing. We should make it a point to labor together with those who are working for the Lord in our local church. Notice that Nehemiah did not just issue instructions to those who built the walls around Jerusalem. He worked shoulder to shoulder with them, sharing their discomforts and their dangers. Finally, we have a great responsibility to be an example to the workers in our congregation. We must demonstrate Christian living before the members of our congregations in areas such as serving as unto the Lord. Paul instructed the servants at Ephesus to serve with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. That would certainly apply to us as servants of the Lord. Willingness. Peter exhorted the elders to feed the flock of God and take the oversight of them, not by constraint, but willingly. We are to be examples in serving God out of eagerness to serve, not out of obligation. Dependence upon God. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything is of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament. Any competence we may have is from God, and we must be examples of leaning on Him and acknowledging that we are nothing in ourselves. Faithfulness. Paul told the Corinthians, "It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful," and challenged them, "Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." The gospel deserves our dedication, so we want to model reliability and responsibility. Selflessness. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. The world says we should know ourselves, express ourselves, be ourselves, and take care of ourselves. However, God instructs us to know others, listen to others, live for others, and take care of others. We should proactively focus on others. In conclusion, it is good to remind ourselves that we are all laborers together with God. We want to encourage every participant in the work of the Lord to develop, to innovate, to learn from one another, all the while feeling loved, supported, and affirmed. Security and trust are the result when we put into practice leading through love, for genuine caring speaks volumes. As we stand heart to heart, united in faith, purpose, doctrine, and loyalty to God and to one another, we enable every worker to be their best as we work together for the salvation of souls and the furtherance of God's kingdom. Counsel for ministers. We must guard against coming across as the least bit arrogant in our dealings with the workers of the church, taking care that we never give the impression that we know it all. While we have a responsibility to lead, we should keep in mind that we serve in the role of ministers. Real love is neither demanding nor possessive, for 1 Corinthians 13:4 and 5 tells us that charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity vaunteth not itself, seeketh not her own.